never rests.
What a time to be alive. That's what the song says every week. It is the Georgia Show, and we are coming to you on Sunday night, although it feels so weird, Rusty, because we had a Friday night game to talk about. But look, one of the craziest ones you'll ever in your life see, I promise you that. We'll talk about that tonight. We definitely got to talk about this matchup coming up in the SEC Championship with Texas, round two, and then it's all already beginning, isn't it? Transfer portal already hitting, National Signing Day here on Wednesday. The room is on fire, and we're just hoping to keep our head above water, guys. But let's get in right off of the bat. Clean, old-fashioned eight overtimes. Georgia takes it down against Georgia Tech. Have you ever in your life, Rusty?
I don't think I have. You know, and I said this Friday night from the field, but Georgia was, I felt like they were knocked out a couple of times and somehow, some way got back off the mat and found a way to win that game. And, you know, just one of those nights where they just hung around and found a way to win it. And I thought about this game this weekend, and listen, I can't be that type of person and not give Haynes King credit. I'll just tell you right now, I went back and watched the game today, and I don't know a quarterback that's played a better game against Georgia in that building in a long, long time. I mean, this guy, he left it all on the field, and he gave Georgia fits. But I think the surprising thing was how accurate he was able to throw some balls. I mean, Georgia had some good coverage, man. Don't
sit here. The guy was going to play.
No. I mean, he didn't throw the ball one time, I don't think, against NC State the week before, but – saying all that, Georgia found a way to freaking win that game, and credit to them, man. That team just found a way, man. And Buster Faulkner, you know what I mean? That guy's a hot name, and he's had his ups and downs, and he's had games where he hasn't been a very good play caller. But I can tell you this, he knows exactly what to play and what to call against Georgia. But I'll say this. He had to have Haynes King execute and play at the high level he did, and he did. And that was kudos to them. Came up short, fortunately for Georgia, found a way to win it. Man, what a hell of a game for the Georgia Bulldogs, man, to win. I got sucked into like social media today. My algorithm got on the celebrations, and boy, there were some Georgia fans that just they were enjoying it, man. It was pretty cool to see.
Absolutely. No, I mean, almost everyone I knew went to bed. Everybody just gave up. And so I saw all these people on Saturday, and they said, man, did you stay up and watch the game? I said, I'm like legally obligated to.
Yes, you better be.
I don't have the option to not do that. No, so I had to see it out, and I'm damn glad I did, man. It was unbelievable, Rusty. It really was.
Yeah.
Haynes King was phenomenal.
Carson
Beck down the stretch, though, absolutely tremendous.
Yes.
I got
some tight window throws, man. Tight window throws, crazy.
How good has coming home been for Carson Beck, man? It looks like a different dude since he's been back in San Francisco.
And I don't know. I've said this in a couple of interviews this weekend. I don't even know who I've done interviews with, but I'll just say this, Jake. Since Georgia has moved Monroe Freeling to left tackle, Carson Beck's been a different person.
Absolutely.
And I'm just, you know, I'm not sliding that toward Ernest Green because Ernest Green's hurt. You know what I mean? He tried to play. He was hurt. But moving Monroe Freeling to left tackle has been a big deal to Carson Beck. I think the confidence that you're, you know, Ole Miss, man, he got ate up on that backside. He took some shots, and they got after Ernest Green, who played hurt, who played really hurt, okay, tried to go. But Monroe Freeling moving to left tackle, man, has been he's been really good there. Has he been perfect? He has not. But Carson Beck in that window with him minus a quarter or two, he's been really good.
Oh, there's no doubt, man. I mean, it, like you said, it looks like a different player. You know, like I said, being back in Sanford, Monroe Freeling's changed things. And God, listen, God bless Monroe Freeling. By the end of that game, that dude looked like he had been run through a meat grinder. He was, they were all, I mean, they were all dragging. I did the snap count today. They had, I think there were four guys on the defensive front that played 50 plus snaps. The defensive backs, 93, Malachi Starks, Dalen Everett, and Daniel Harris played 93 snaps the other night. The big guys up front, I think it was 79 snaps for the offensive line, definitely in the 70s. I mean, just I made the joke today, but it was true. You said, you know, they got that extra day of rest. I bet that felt like half a day after doing eight overtimes.
Yeah, dude, if Georgia would have played last night and got done at 12:01 this morning, I don't know. I mean, it is a big deal. The recovery time, you know, I was told that Kirby gave everybody, all the coaches off, all the players. The only person in that building yesterday were people that needed treatment. He knows they are gassed and they needed it. And then you get a damn eight overtime game. He must be. I saw Kirby Smart leave the press conference. And he came by, he was riding up the field. We were actually doing our live thing afterwards. I about got soaked. Yeah, everybody laughed about that. But we're doing that, and he rides by right before I go. And I look at him, and he just goes, he just threw his hand up. Like, he didn't even, I mean, it was just, the dude was gassed. His players were gassed. You know, so, but look, man, it ain't easy. It's never easy. I think you look around the country, and I think there was a lot of Georgia fans that were like pissed off, like they played terrible and all that. Well, you know what? You know who would like to play terrible and won was Ohio State. You know what I mean? How about how about Clemson?
Miami? You think
how about Miami and Clemson? Yeah. You know what I mean? This rivalry weekend, man, and these things are not easy. And Georgia had to go eight freaking overtimes and find a way to win against a team that, you know, that was their Super Bowl. I mean, I don't care what Georgia Tech, that was their Super Bowl. They wanted to beat Georgia, and damn, they found a way to win it, man.
You didn't see Brent Key get emotional after any other game this season.
No, that one meant a lot.
That one meant a lot to him. He had a lot invested in that one. Jeff here with a great comment says Tech and Georgia would have fought like everyone else did, but they were just too tired.
That's a damn good point. Nobody had anything in them. It's like, you know, those big heavyweights when you go 15 rounds at the end. You know, they come out and just touch gloves, the last thing. It's all they can do to hold their hand. I'm telling you, man, those kids were freaking gassed, man.
Absolutely, man. Yep. I heard the photographers were pretty gassed running from end zone to end zone, too, trying to keep
up. You know what was funny was I had some people, and I'll say his name because some people were on the front row, but Barrett Salee, you know, I mean, he knew how cold it was, our good buddy Barrett Salee. And with about 4 minutes to go in the game, he got up and he goes, I got to go down to get to the field, get post-game interviews, you know. And an hour and a half later, I'm looking at his seat and how warm it is. I didn't listen to him on the radio today, but I bet Barrett was like, holy smokes, man. Holy smokes. Yeah, they were down there another hour and a half.
Now, I am curious. We've talked about, you know, obviously Georgia pulls it out, it snatches victory from the jaws of defeat. Someone I saw summed it up super well. They said Georgia Tech talked to the girl at the bar all night, and Georgia took her home when the lights came off. But we do need to talk about, I think, the issues, which was it was a defensive issue the other night, Rusty. They really struggled, and once again, right? This is. Those mobile quarterbacks seem to continue to be an Achilles heel for this team this year. You saw that with Jackson Dart. You saw that with Jalen Milroe earlier this year. Nico busted off a couple of runs against them as well. Haynes King, look, tough as all get out, man, and got in there, put his head down, and just went after him. And they had a lot of success with that. And that's something that should concern you a bit. Also, too, there was I cannot explain some of the zone coverage and the cushion that we're seeing at times from these guys. It feels like they're playing back a lot. We, as good as things have looked since they have returned home, right? You again got what has been the classic thing this year from the Georgia Bulldogs, which is an incomplete effort from a team, from the whole team. The Carson Beck and the guys did what they were supposed to do. The defense really struggled to hold up their end of the deal this time around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say Haynes King gave them a bigger matchup problem than probably anybody else. Jalen Milroe for a quarter, a half, just shredded them up. But Haynes King went for 120 rushing and 270. I mean, the physicality of Haynes King was what's different. Like, he was like, I'm leaving here in a body bag or we're winning this game. You know what I mean? So yeah. I just got to give him credit. And I think there's a lot of things defensively that if you sit down with Glenn Schumann, a lot of things defensively, they would obviously like to fix. The biggest thing, I really sit there and watched the biggest thing that I see, the two biggest things that I see right now. And I want to be careful. The two things I'll say is they're not winning one-on-ones up front, and they have to bring pressure. They have to try to bring pressure with linebackers. They have to manufacture pressure. They're not getting off blocks. And I know that's probably extremely frustrating to them, because when Georgia is rolling, they have some game records on the defensive line. I think they still got good players, man. They just right now don't have a guy that's consistent enough to get in there and create. They're having to, you see the amount when they do blitz, it's Smile Munden, it's CJ Allen, it's right. Dan Jackson. Look at the sacks in that game. It was Dan right. Jackson, CJ Allen, those guys. It used to be you would have a guy beat a one-on-one and at least chase the quarterback out of the pocket. They're not getting that right now. The second thing, you know, I think Georgia is just having problems, and it is they got what they got right now, and it's at wide receiver, and that is the drops are something that is another whole discussion. Okay, that those kids are working their tail off. It's just not. I don't know how to explain. Those are really good athletes. Those kids have caught the ball. I think it's in their head.
Jake Rose said it earlier on the dog walk at Dogs HQ, yeah. And I thought it was really well said. He said, yeah. It's such a hard thing to coach because there's not really a lot of ways to coach it. You got to just catch the ball. I mean, that really is what it boils down to.
Yeah, I mean, these are freaking D1 really good athletes, and they're just struggling. That first third down. Let me say this about Arian Smith, and the kid's had so many drops. I mean, he has. I mean, and then he'll make a play, and you're like, okay, I need more of that. That reverse he ran was, I mean, that dude was shy of a cannon. He caught a tight contested ball. Yeah. And then he has like three drops, and you're like, what? Somebody told me this weekend, that's the best kid on the team. He is literally the best kid. Jalen Walker and Arian Smith are the two best kids on the team. And you hurt for a guy like that, because they say he works every day, every rep. He works after practice. This kid's not pouting up. He's doing everything right. I don't know, man. And I don't know that he's a natural ball catcher. He tries to fight it sometimes.
Sure. But to be fair, I mean, Arian, look, Arian is one of those guys. Georgia was super excited to land him. Yeah. He's a track guy. He's a speed guy that they were going to teach how to play football. And you know, I mean, that was not always his. Some people would even say that might not have always been his meal ticket. You know, the guy, people I think forget, he ran in the Pan American Games with Matt Bowles, who was tremendous. Yeah. The guy's got world-class speed, okay? But I feel for the guy. I will say this for Arian, though. He seems to shake it off. You see him on camera, and he looks
He looks that non-plus. Tells you who he is.
On to the next one, right?
Yeah, yep. You really just have to stay with it and see what you can get. But it's unfortunate, man, because the person I talked to would know. And I'm like, this is the best kid in the locker room. I mean, this guy is a leader. This guy is, we put recruits around this guy. This guy meets with parents. I mean, this is an ambassador of Georgia. He works his butts off. He catches balls before practice. He catches balls after practice. He's on the jugs machine. He's done it all. I mean, he's done it all. And you just hope that at some point it sticks with him consistently, because he does have those flashes in the game. You're like, yep, that's him. And then he's not.
It's not just him. Gorgeous. That's the thing. Yeah. Dominic Glover missed a couple the other night. Dylan Bell has had a couple that have gotten through his hands as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, those two guys, especially Smith, though, Smith and Lovett, I mean, there's not two guys you were counting on more in the passing game going into this season. And it's just, It's been a snowball effect, man. I really think
it gets in your head too, man. Gets in your head. Yeah. Jamal Patman there. If he's doing that, it's a concentration issue. It's also in your head. You know what I mean? I mean, the first third down of the game is just a slant route. I mean, they run that in youth ball. He comes off. He puts his foot in the ground. He's an elite athlete. He creates separation. Carson Beck hits him square where you practice a million times. And he dropped it. And I thought, you know, everybody in the press box just goes, yeah, it is what it is. You know what I mean? So they got to – they're recruiting. The two positions I just talked about, you see why Georgia is, especially at wide receiver and especially at D-line. I mean, they are trying to get – they're trying to get pieces of the puzzle. Georgia knows this. I mean, they're 53-4. This is not a team that's 35-35. I mean, this is Georgia's had the best record in college football by far the last 4 years. I mean, this is a team that they know what it takes to be successful, and they're trying to get back to that. But right now they're playing with what they have. And I think, you know, I've said this before on here and I'll say it again. I think this team could win a national championship. They've got to fix some things quickly. They've got to get healthy, and they got to get some guys back that can help them. But man, they are just trying to fix what they can there. Dan Jackson, dude, he is.
Hey, look, I wasn't going to let this go without this.
Yeah, man.
Dan Jackson.
Yeah.
How about just clinching a win on his birthday, too?
How about that, man?
Just
how about that?
Played lights out, man. Talking about – I mentioned this on the board the other day. I said the coolest thing to me about Dan Jackson – and I'm interested if you'll agree with me. Did you know who Dan Jackson was when he made the roster in Georgia? Had you heard his name before?
No.
Okay. So what I said was he's a walk-on. Dan Jackson is a walk-on. So was Stetson Bennett. But the difference was almost everybody I knew who Stetson Bennett was in high school. And we saw him at like Rising Seniors, and he camped a lot, right? And
I had him, yep.
Everywhere he went, everybody said, oh, Stetson Bennett, pretty good little player right there. He'll be good somewhere. You didn't think it was going to play out the way that it did, right? Dan Jackson fell out of the sky. I mean, nobody had heard. And now this guy is going to be an NFL draft pick. It's unbelievable. One of the coolest stories in my time covering it, man. Just seeing him.
And unfortunately, you're going to see little to no Dan Jacksons ever again. Unless they come to the portal because of how this thing does, you know, this new rule. So
thank you, NCAA.
You know, yeah, man, I got, you know, there's a lot of people that are worried, a lot of parents that are nervous.
Dan Jacksons. We've got signing day on championship week. We've got portal the next week. They're just knocking this stuff out of the park. We got the best and the brightest working on this.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, think about Georgia right now. Georgia is, it's 7 o'clock and they're in a staff meeting and have been. Sunday is Georgia's work day. I mean, they're in there from 11 a.m., 12 noon until, this is 1 or 2 o'clock night right here. This is 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. On a normal week, this is their longest day of the week staff-wise. They're trying to recruit as well as prepare for Texas because these kids are going to sign on Wednesday. Yeah, that makes a lot of freaking sense for everybody, I could go the next 45 minutes on how screwed this is.
We're going to talk about signing day. So let that anger build with inside you, Rusty. But look, if you don't want to be angry this week, get over to Game Time and get your tickets for the SEC Championship, guys. That is the place that you got to go if you're trying to get in the game. Now, look, I ain't going to sit here and BS you. This is not a cheap ticket this week. As you would expect, those people from Austin are coming out in droves. They want to see their Longhorns. They would love nothing more, you know, than in year one in the conference to go out and win the SEC Championship. I'm sure that they would handle that with great humility. But if you want to go see Georgia and the Longhorns, go at it this weekend in Mercedes-Benz. Get over and visit our friends at GameTime.co. They've got your hookup on the tickets, man. Tickets all over the stadium. Great prices. The best prices that you're going to find. They guarantee their prices. if you can find the same ticket, they'll match it. They'll get you hooked up with it. You can see, though, where you're going to be sitting in the stadium. That's the cool part about it, in my opinion. You get the opportunity to kind of check in and say, all right, where am I going to land? You can see some of these lower bowl tickets, pretty pricey, but you can get down there for, it looks like, $500. So if you're trying to get in the door, this is the way to do it. They get your tickets to you fast, all in pricing, all you need covered at gametime.co. They do a tremendous job. I've used it myself. I would recommend it to anybody, even if they weren't sponsoring this show. So get over to gametime.co. Use our code ON3. That's code ON3. And that'll take $20 off your first purchase. Terms and conditions apply. So definitely check that out at the end. But get over there if you're trying to get into Atlanta and you haven't gotten your tickets yet. We want to see you at the game. Game Time will get you there. Gametime.co, code ON3. What time is it? It's game time. Speaking of the SEC championship and getting in there, Georgia, Texas, round two. Ding, ding, ding. Ring that bell, baby. It's going to be a big one this time, Rusty. The Dogs, look, the Dogs obviously pulled off the first round of this one. They get another chance here to do it again. And I think that for my money, I think of the two choices you had, I think Texas was the better draw over.
I did. Me too.
I think that that sets up better for what Georgia does well. Plus, and look, there's that old adage, hard to beat a team twice. I understand that and I get that. But there should be some confidence coming in that you've got proof of concept. You've already done this. You know how to do it and you've seen it happen before. They'll come in with a different game plan, but they're not bringing new people. They got the same guys, same coaches over there too. I'm curious, looking at this game from your perspective, how does it stack up when it comes to this matchup? Has anything changed between the first time these two squads met?
I haven't watched Texas a ton. I know they got overwhelmed up front. Georgia's defensive line, Michael Williams and Jalen Walker ate those two tackles up. And do I know it's going to happen again? I don't know that, but I do know that they could not. And what is the significance of that? Georgia was able to get pressure with a front four. You know what I mean? So they were able to sit in coverage. Quinn Ewers is not going to hurt you with his feet. I'm telling you what you're going to see is you're going to see Arch Manning in the RPO. They're going to use Arch Manning in the run game. That's going to happen because they've watched Georgia enough to know. I don't think that Arch Manning is Haynes King by any stretch of the imagination as far as where he is run game wise. He can't hurt you there. Quinn Ewers is a guy that wants to sit in a pocket, and Georgia has done well with anybody. They know where you're going to be. They can go get you. Now, you also got to understand these are high level Division I elite offensive players. And if you want to get some game tape again, you're going to have a second chance at these guys. Cause the first tape, Georgia's defensive line, just they destroyed them. 7 sacks, 10 tackles for loss. It was one of the best performances ever, ever for a Georgia defense, Kirby Smart defense. I had to go back and look at the stats. I think it's the second best I could find. But 7 sacks and 10 tackles for loss, they just dominate them up front. And when Georgia's able to create with the front four, they're pretty damn dangerous on defense now. How will Texas go the second time? How will Texas attack this? And, you know, I made a note today on Trevor Etienne on Dogs HQ. That's another note. Well, you know, what does that factor into this week? Can he play? What are we hearing? Those type of things. So, you know, there's a lot to this game. I will say this, that Texas playing in this game for a first time, I do think Georgia has kind of an advantage there. It's a big deal. It's a big deal when you get here and you realize this has that big boy feel to it. You know what I mean? And Texas has played in big games, but they hadn't played in this one. I don't know in that building. I expect this to be very close in person. People, Texas is going to travel. This is their first year in this. First time they've ever done this. They're going to buy tickets like crazy. Probably a home field advantage for Georgia, but not like we have seen in the past.
Yeah, it won't be much if it is.
It won't be much. They're going to buy tickets up, and
that old money can buy
this. That old money travels. So, it's a big deal, and I'm going to talk about this week. I think this is a massive deal for Georgia and how far they can go, because if Georgia wins the SEC championship and you give this team 10 days, 8 days to rest, they need it. You know what I mean? And I don't care about anybody else. I only cover Georgia, and I know what they need. And that team needs a break. They need some rest days. Nobody practices like Georgia. Kirby Smart doesn't apologize for that. He's won national championships, but nobody practices like Georgia. And I'm telling you, they don't. And he gets after them. Now, I will say that I heard Kirby Smart went to the leaders, the senior leadership council, after the UMass game and said, how do y'all want to do this? How do y'all want to get after this? How do you want to practice? So that tells you he knows too. And that's a lot of respect for his team. You tell me how you feel. So, but I can guarantee you this week, he's making a decision and they're about to play a physical freaking football team in Texas. And a team that wants to win this. But if Georgia can win this game, man, and they don't play again until New Year's Day, man, they would be, get some guys right, man, and get some bodies back. I don't think there's an alpha team. I've said it before. I do not think there's an alpha team in the country right now. I think Oregon's playing the best football, but Oregon hadn't been tested a lot either. You know what I mean? They hadn't been hitting the mouth and down 14 to see what happens to them. So we'll see, but this is a huge deal for Georgia. If they can pull this one off and get some time to rest, they can make a run to
thing. You imagine going through this season, all the things that have happened, all the struggles, all the basic, and then you were able to put an SEC championship on this team.
I said this last night. I said, and I asked a question on social media: who else in America could have went 10-2 with this schedule? Who else?
Sure.
I would have thought Ohio State. No. Maybe Oregon. I don't know. Georgia, the schedule that is played and where they played the games, don't fool yourself. And then the injuries they had, you know, we may never know all the potential this team has, but I'm telling you, if they win this game, it is a huge deal. I know some people are making comments about Kobe Young. That's another potential. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say he's coming back, but there's some things that lead you to believe. And if they get Kobe Young back and get a couple, not 2 or 3 days, if they get a couple of weeks of practice with him and get him back acclimated into that, that's another valuable piece they could add back. That's if that happens. So y'all don't take me as I'm not the lawyer, but for him to be able to come back in the building and practice says, you know, try to lend you to believe that some things are happening there behind the scenes.
Yeah, you know, I said this the other night on the board talking about, you know, watching Quinn Ewers in that Texas A&M game. I said Quinn Ewers is the 2024 Georgia team of quarterbacks, if that makes sense. Like, he did some things. He dropped a couple of balls in there that you were like, mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And then there were some decisions that you were like, what is going on, man? Like, this guy, he's been up and down as well, right? He's going to have his moments. Like you said, I expect him to take advantage of Arch a little bit more in this game and what he brings as far as the dual threat capability. But, you know, there's a lot that this team can still get right. And like you said, time in a very literal way, time will heal a lot of wounds here for this Georgia team. They need that. And I don't know, Rusty, the line's moving around already like crazy. It opened at 1.5. I think it's at 3 now is where we kind of found ourselves. It's flying all over the place. And I just don't know. I don't know that I have a good sense of this game just yet. I don't really know what I feel about it. I think that it's going to, my guess is it will look tighter than the first one did, regardless of.
I expect it to
be different in that way. But I got to tell you this, it popped into my head thinking about it. That picture of Arch and Quinn sitting on the thing, in the back of their mind, I would think Quinn Ewers is coming into this game being like, we can absolutely not do what we did last time we were here. Because if they are able to get a Jalen Walker loose, or let's say Chaz Chambliss, who's been playing really well over the last 2 or 3 games, you know, you're able to start getting him some momentum.
Dude, Chaz Chambliss. Go back and watch Georgia Tech's last play.
Yeah.
And you watch Chaz Chambliss hit that pulling guard. Are you talking about electrocuting a guy? I mean, If Chaz Chandler, he's a senior. He's walking out of the building. His last play of his career in Sanford Stadium absolutely blew a Georgia Tech lineman just slap out of frame. I mean, just slap up. And, man, that was that he's going to have a good memory on that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. I think the last 2 weeks we've gotten him a fullback snap. So that's
hey, how about that? Listen, for anybody who wants to say anything about Mike Bo, you can do what you want. Everybody in the country thought they were about to run ISO behind the fullback, and he sneaks freaking Oscar Delp in the back of an end zone, and he was so wide open that I was worried that Carson was going to overthrow that. You know what I mean? So,
no, absolutely.
How about putting Peanut in motion on the last play of the game? Go back and watch that play. You don't have to be the football nerd that I am. Go back and watch Dwight Phillips in the game. And when Georgia runs him in motion, watch the linebacker that's got the eye candy on him. He takes two steps this way, and guess what? Nate Frazier runs right in that hole. I mean, when I'm upstairs and we're kind of high down that new press box, I'm watching with binoculars, and I'm going, there's Dwight Phillips. He's about to get a jet sweep. He's about to get a jet. There's no question. I don't know why they got him in the game, but they bring him in for the eye candy, and all it did was widen that linebacker as soon as he went motion. And a great block by Fairchild, and it was ball game.
I bet it killed them almost to have to pull that play out, because you know they had been waiting on that eye candy. They've been
since the Florida game. You think about that, like, you're eight overtimes in. How many freaking 2-point play? That was a hell of a 2-point play. You know what I mean? Like, the naked eye looks at that play and goes, they just blew them off the ball. No, there was a lot going on with that motion.
Oh, yeah.
With 20, because you start recognizing this guy's not usually in. I know it's going to shock you, but when Justin Fields came in for a fake punt, Alabama saw that. You know what I mean? Call me crazy. But when 20 is on the field at the end of the game, you're thinking something's up, and they run him in motion, and everybody is key 20, and Frazier just dips them right there. So that's kudos to them on that play. I like Dwight Phillips. I like what I've seen. I hope they use him more. I'm telling you, he is a natural runner. And I think he had a carry or two. One carry was for like 7 yards. But Jake, he made two people miss. A lot of guys gain 1 yard and it's second and nine. This dude bounced out, outruns the contain guy, makes one move on a contain defensive back, and then falls forward for like 7. And I looked at the guy beside me. I said, this guy's got something to him. So I hope if they use 20 more, they need some back. It needs some wiggle, man. It needs some guys that can make people freaking miss. I like what I see out of him. The kids love him. The kids love him. I asked Jalen Walker and Dom Lovett last week when I interviewed them. I said, what was it about that? And Jalen Walker flat out told me, he goes, man, you should go against that kid in practice. Like, try to go against him in practice and what we're dealing with. He goes, we love him. He's always in a great mood. He's a great teammate. But, I hope to see more of 20 for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to get into some National Signing Day and some portal here, but we got to shout out our friends over at MyPerfectFranchise.net real quick. Guys.
Big Andy.
And my man Andy, you know what we're talking about when we talk about My Perfect Franchise. Are you a displaced corporate executive or wanting to put your career in your own hands? Or are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? Well, Andy Ludeke and MyPerfectFranchise.net can help. Andy is a huge college sports fan and franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. And using his expertise, he helps others find their American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. So call Andy. Put your life and career in your own hands. Best of all, his services, 100% free to you. So what do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise today at MyPerfectFranchise.net. That is MyPerfectFranchise.net. Speaking of the franchise, there's going to be a lot of building the franchise this week and losing pieces of the franchise. It's already happening, Rusty. Look, signing day up on us on Wednesday. Transfer portal doesn't open until next week, but that didn't stop Julian Humphrey from going ahead and deciding that he was going to let everybody know what he was going to do. His teammates did not seem to respond very well to that. Look, writing was on the wall there, in my opinion. It looked like that was – I think anybody with eyes could have really spotted that. Had played very sparsely, I believe, since Tennessee.
He has not played a snap, to my knowledge, since that pass interference on the first drive against Tennessee. They took him out, and look, it is what it is. I don't have to. He's not with the team. I put a note on that, and Georgia will move on without him. And you know, in this day and age, people have posted the comments. I saw the comments from teammates, and I saw Richard LeCount. I saw Richard LeCount's comment. So those people have their own opinions there. It is what it is, and social media can all read it. And the players voiced their opinion on him leaving this week, and that is what it is. He's not at Georgia. He's not going to play this week. He's not part of the team anymore, and he'll go on somewhere else and play. And like Kirby said today, worry about the guys that are playing for Georgia team, and we're going to cover the guys that are on the Georgia team. Question, Rusty, where's Rashad in the depth chart? I get that question a lot. I've said this, and I'm feeling a lot more confident in this. Like, Gunnar Stockton has a firm grip on the number two spot. Like, he has a firm grip on the number two spot. He's had an outstanding fall, and I do think this is going to be an open quarterback battle. 100%, I think it's going to be an open quarterback battle, but I'm telling you right now that Gunnar Stockton has a firm grip on the number two job right now. He's been there a long time. He knows the system. He knows exactly what to play, what's going on. And he will definitely, if nothing changes between now and January, he will definitely be the favorite. But I will say it will be a open quarterback competition in the spring and all those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Look, Julian just kind of got things rolling early. We're going to see a ton more action from this. You got to think the Dogs are going to be looking for multiple positions, and we're not going to give anything too much away. Get over to Dogs HQ and check all this out. We got notes on all this. Jake Rowe did a big transfer portal preview today on the site. I know he talked about some numbers of guys that they might be looking for at each spot even. So we do also, if you're listening to this on Sunday or Monday of the week of December 1st / 2nd, you can get over to the site. We got the $1 sale, 7 days, come test drive it. If you like what we do here on the channel, I promise it's like 18,000 times that over at the site. So get over to the message board and check it out. Come hang out with us. We've got a lot more inside intel over there than we give out here for free on the YouTube.
Yeah, I'm about to make some notes on some transfer stuff on Dogs HQ tonight. And I've already put some updates on what I thought was pretty interesting today. I already made the notes on some of those things. So, look, enjoy everybody being here. Enjoy everybody being on YouTube, guys, and the YouTube Plus subscribers. Thanks, everybody, to being here. Love the comments. Jake, I am so old school, and I know everybody's going to laugh and just rip me a new one, but I'm going to be straight up honest. Downstairs the other day in the kitchen making a coffee, and I turned to our little Alexa, and I go, Alexa, play Georgia Show, UGA podcast. Bam. The latest episode pops right up. I was like, it was that easy? And it was the one that, you know, I'm like, God, I'm so, there's people out there the same way as me. I'm just telling you, it was that easy. I'm fixing a cup of coffee. I tell Alexa to play Georgia Show, Dogs HQ podcast. And not only it helped me out, it felt so bad for me. It gave me the latest episode. So.
I'm gonna say what I say when Roe ends up on mute. Grandpa's back on the internet.
Grandpa is back on the internet, man.
We got signing day coming up on Wednesday, Rusty. A big visit for Kevin Wynn this past weekend. I know you had some notes up on that. Definitely gonna be one to watch going into this one. I know everybody's got their eyes on Justice Terry coming down the stretch here.
That's Friday.
Laganza Hayward now back on the market suddenly. That's an interesting one. Happens to be in Gainesville while he's doing it. That's another one to watch. It's not, look, I don't feel like we're sitting here watching a dozen guys, right, going into
no.
It's a lot more hyper-focused, perhaps, than it's been in the last couple of years, I guess. Mm-hmm. Most of the hay's in the barn, but there's some big names still lingering out there. I asked Chad this tonight. We had him on the radio show, and I'm going to put you on the spot with it too. Do you think Georgia holds on to this number one ranking by the time that this window closes?
Do not anyone take this the wrong way. No one take this the wrong way. It really doesn't matter if it's number one or if it's number two or if it's number three.
Sure.
You need to focus on needs, and they are 99% done with major. I would say they're 95% done.
Yeah.
With major, if they hold serve with what they have got that are already committed in this class, I'm telling you, this 2025 class is freaking loaded. I will be honest with you. The 2026 class in Georgia and the 2026 class nationwide right now does not look anywhere to me as deep as 25.
I completely agree.
25, not just for Georgia, not for Georgia. 27 has started. 27 has got some early pop to it. But I think Georgia knows a hell of a lot more than I do. And they're probably looking and going, we can't miss on some of these guys because the next class doesn't have this guy.
Right.
It does not have this guy. When you miss on Alvin Kamara, but you also know you're about to get Sony Michel, that's big world problems. You know what I mean? Sure. Like they miss on him, but they're like, we're good with that. We're going to get Sony Michel in the next class. They wouldn't even really involve a Nick Chubb at that point. The 25 class is a massive, massive class nationwide. And I'm telling you, Georgia has got some freaking dudes committed. They're not done. So when you're scrolling through this week and looking at On Three and everything else all over the place, if Georgia finishes third, don't worry about it because this class is so deep. It's countrywide. It is deep. It's deep at tackle, it's deep at D line, it's deep at wide receiver, it's crazy deep at inside linebacker. I think the quarterback class is as deep as anything, and I still think Bryce Underwood's the number one quarterback.
We didn't even talk about the fact that Georgia flipped a guy.
Flipped a guy, quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I mean, this is a kid that kind of fell in their lap. He moved from Arizona to Clark Central. What a hell of a move for him because his parents knew somebody in Athens. They wanted to get him in front of some people. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know a ton about him. I had to make some calls last week. I will say the one consistent thing is, man, I'll say it right now because I know he don't care. I talked to Damian Gary, former Georgia great wide receiver. He coaches there. He goes, Rusty, this is one of the best kids we've had. Like, this is a great kid on and off it. They would have loved to had him 2 years. Like, you know, he kind of comes in and they weren't sure what they had. They had another kid there they felt comfortable in. Well, after a little while, they're like, wait a minute, this kid from Arizona is our guy. So, you know, it really kind of fell into their lap and it fell into Georgia's lap here at the end with him. And you just never know. But that was a crazy deal. And kudos to that young man. He's sitting here a year ago and has nothing. He has nothing going on. And next thing you know, he's going to sign with freaking Georgia. So, yeah, Damian Gary, good damn sure DGD and keeps me up to date on those guys over that in that area of the state. And Clark Central does a really good job.
So cool to see a Clark Central guy. Yeah, I mean, I know
he's a good guy,
but he's been at Clark Central. You don't. Mm-hmm. I used to teach at Clark Central High School. It's so neat to see that man because that is.
Yeah.
You don't. There's no. As much as, you know, you might say that a school would be – there's no more pro-Georgia school than the school that is, like, on the campus of the University of Georgia.
Yeah.
Clark Central is not in wool, red, and black, man.
No doubt.
So, I will say this. Again, like you, I don't know too much about this kid. When you turn the tape on, what I see is buildable tools. I think that he has a lot of tools that you look for in a guy. I don't think he's super polished yet. I don't think he's a complete product. I think he's a guy that that has a big upside though. If he continues to develop, if he continues to get in there, I think by taking the opportunity to come to Georgia, he kind of recognizes, hey, look, there's some guys ahead of me. So he looks like he's willing to sit back and develop those tools. It's going to be very interesting to follow that guy. Also, just what a great name, Hezekiah Millender, man. That dude was going to churn butter or throw touchdowns, man. That was the only two options you got with that name.
Yeah, man.
But I got one more for you, Rusty, on signing day. And I asked Chad this, and I'll be interested to hear your response as well. Tell me a guy that is going to sign on Wednesday that's already on this commit list that we're not talking enough about yet that we will be before his career in Athens is over.
Thomas Blackshear, wide receiver at Calvary Day. And I made a post on the board today, talked to some people at Prince Avenue who has played some really good players over the years. And they told me that he was a lot better than they kind of anticipated and a lot more explosive in person. And this is a guy, you know, CJ Wiley is widely known. Talon Taylor is going to be the first five-star wide receiver that Georgia has signed in a while. And he lost a tough state championship game yesterday. But that young man, everybody in the Georgia Bulldog Nation knows who Talon Taylor is. CJ Wiley was a huge, you know, flip for Georgia. But Thomas Blackshear, and I'll say Landon Rowland. You know what I mean? These two guys have verified speed. But what I like about these two wide receiver prospects are they make plays. They play both sides of the ball. And Landon Rowland, they're one game away. North Oconee is one game away from playing on statewide TV. I will have the Lee County versus Milton game on Friday night. The entire country can watch that. On Dogs HQ, we'll have free links. You can go anywhere you want and watch that.
We got a question about that. It says, Rusty, how many dogs in 2025 are playing in Milton versus Lee County game?
Well, you look at CJ Wiley. Yeah, and what they do with McLeod, you know, I mean, what they do there with him. So you could be four, and you know, there's a lot of young kids in that game that are big-time prospects. But to me, just on paper, this is the game that everybody in the state of Georgia wants to see. Regardless of classification, they have absolutely steamrolled teams. This is the best team in South Georgia versus the defending state champions. Milton. So I can't wait to be there Friday night. I might be there Friday morning about 8 just to help the TV set up. So you look for that. Friday's going to be a big day. Justice Terry is going to make his decision. They have a semifinal game against Brooks County Friday. And I have made multiple texts today just to make sure that he doesn't change. You know, Friday at noon, he's going to make his decision. And they have a semifinal game Friday night against Brooks County. He's one more game away from playing on TV as well. So good luck to all these kids, but I'm super excited to watch Lee County and Milton on Friday night. Man, that's a grown ass man high school football game.
I'm sorry, it's not going to be my Fannin County Rebels, man. Got upended by Northeast. I was hoping we'd get them to the dome this year, but shout out to Cheatham and the boys up there.
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Mm-hmm. Doing it for Blue Ridge, man. Best season in school history. So cool to see. Guys, look, this has been fun. It's been a blast. There's too much to do for us to keep going. We have to get off of here. We've got
Steve Wilfong has blown my phone up. I don't know if I'm missing anything.
We've got signing day coming. Listen, this will not be the last you see of us this week. I can promise you that. We will definitely be back with you on Wednesday to talk all things signing day. Hell, we'll probably be back a couple of times on Wednesday to talk signing day with you. It's going to be wall to wall, guys. Get over to Dogs HQ if you're not already over there. We want you over there hanging out with us, getting on the message board, getting your intel, getting your fix. We got you hooked up on it all, and we need you there with us. Guys, we appreciate you tuning in to the Georgia Show. It's only just begun, as the old song goes. We will be back with you this week. Stay tuned to Dogs HQ. Stay tuned to the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. We will talk to you guys very, very soon.